The Brian Odom Show podcast featuring Cody Goff. There are a couple of guys who aren't in enough, cause football and baseball and hockey kick them off the air. So they have to come in on a Wednesday night and sit in a studio looking out the window, hoping that somebody left their windows open and they can peek right in.
That took a dark turn. Took a dark turn.
Well, it's dark outside at 4 in the afternoon, so now it feels like midnight. And we're creeping and peeping and yakking and slapping. It's the Brian and Cody Show.
Possibly illegal.
Hello and welcome. It is the Brian Noonan Show podcast with Cody Goff. We are here again because, well, you know why we're here. We love doing content, and we hate being off the air. So
We love doing content.
I like to throw content down and just do it. Just ram some more content into the content. I'm like the turducken of content creators. I take content, then I jam more content in it, and then I'm not satisfied, and I jam a little more content up in there. It's all content all the time. Yeah, how do you like that?
I can't follow that.
No, of course you can't, because it's content, baby. And you can't follow content with a lack of content. If you don't have content, you might as well just stay home.
That was content within content.
Right.
Within content.
You know why? I'm a little irritable today. I'm a little, one, my face is very itchy with this new facial hair. I'm trying something out. Trying out the beard. I don't know. Your opinion? Be honest. I can take it. I've already been lambasted at home, so.
Well, then why are you doing it?
Well, because I want to try it. Because it's nothing permanent. It's not like I got a face tattoo. You know, if in the morning I wake up and go, this is completely ridiculous, it's gone in 5 minutes. So it's nothing. It's just one of those things where last week when I was in for Nick, I didn't want to shave. I was just lazy because your schedule's all messed up. And I was like, why shave? I'm coming in at midnight. Nobody, you know, who's here that I have to impress? Nobody. So I let it go. And then as the week went on, I was like, oh, now it's starting to look like a beard. And then I kind of cleaned up my cheeks a little bit and cleaned up, a nice line underneath my, so I didn't have a neck beard. And I went, all right, now it's the start of a beard. And then I thought, well, I'll just leave it go until it's not itchy anymore. So I'll leave it go a couple weeks. And by Christmas, I'll know. I'll either keep it for a little while or it'll be gone.
Well, it's No Shave November, not No Shave December.
Well, I didn't know that was a thing.
Mm.
So I just, but somebody did ask me that. Oh, are you doing that for No Shave November? I go, well, I waited pretty late to do it. You know, the last 2 weeks, then I decided to make my big move, my stance.
Yeah, but you're clean shaven the rest of the year.
I am always clean shaven.
Yeah, so, you know, I think
but
that
you've
it's still...
been with me. You've been with me long enough to remember some of my bad facial hair decisions from the past.
So most of those were pre-me.
Were they pre you?
Yeah, you had a couple different.
Had a goatee
things.
Then I went Fu Manchu with a soul patch. That was unfortunate. combined with a 400-pound man, that is definitely unfortunate. Somebody described me as Goose Gossage who let himself go.
Oh my!
It was not a good look. But nobody. I was called Goose Gossage who let himself go, and somebody else told me I reminded them of a Civil War general.
Which side?
I don't know, and I don't know where you'd get a horse that big. That would have been I would have been the Civil War general who just sat at headquarters because I couldn't really ride into battle.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to assess it. It's I've seen worse.
It's not full yet, obviously. It's a week and a half old.
Yeah, it's not full, and I think that makes it hard for me to evaluate.
I've been told it makes me because a lot of it is white that it makes me look much older. But let me tell you this. And I say this with all humility, as a middle-aged man who, you know, when a beautiful mid-20s teacher tells you, oh, Mr. Noonan, I really like the scruff. It looks good. Gives you a little perk in your step. You know?
I think,
puts a little lead in your pencil. You know what I'm talking about, Cody the G?
Hey, listen, no, I have experienced the same thing. It's like the second I turned 30, it was like a switch flipped on.
Yeah.
And women suddenly saw me as a human male.
Well, that I believe in your case. I don't know if that's, you know, in my case, but, you know, whatever.
I'm sure they still saw you as a human male.
I'm a human male.
What I'm saying is I think that age can bestow a certain level of, a certain type of attractiveness.
Perhaps. Yeah, women with daddy issues. that's definitely the way. I don't think that's the case. I think she was just being nice, but she did go out of her way to, you know, She made a special trip to tell me.
Right.
So.
Did you report her to HR?
No. No, not at all. I said, would you repeat that? And I recorded it just for myself.
Give me the sound clip.
I wish I, I, wish I wasn't lying. Oh, Mr. Duden. Yes,
is that
me
how
Mr.
it sounded
Newton.
Like?
No, to me, that's how it sounded like. It was probably like, hey, Mr. Newton, I like the scruff. It looks nice. That's probably, it was that casual. It was that much of a throwaway. But in my mind, it was like, hello, candles went off. There were, you know, suddenly there was a bubble bath and champagne. I was like, hello, what's going on? This is inappropriate. I'm in a second grade classroom. This
did Dreamweaver start playing?
Of course it did. Everything was foggy. It was very bizarre. And for some reason, Liberace was in the corner playing piano. Yeah, it seems strange. There was a lot going on. There was a lot going on. I have a vivid imagination. My fantasy life is rich. Rich, rich, rich. So I don't know. So you know, I'm getting the Debbie. I asked her after the first few days. I go, what do you think? I might let it go. Oh, cool. Whatever you want. Completely dismissive.
I think you should if it were shaped into something.
Well, what's it supposed to be shaped into?
I don't know. It's just all over the place now.
It's a beard.
It's like a beard.
Yeah, it's a beard. I've shaved on my cheeks, so it does. It comes down. You can see. Again, it's not fully grown, but and I cleaned it up down here.
Yeah,
so I did shape it a little. It's groomed.
There's something about it that doesn't. It seems like it's getting away.
Wow! At this time,
just running like.
Oh no! This is. I. It could at some point if I decide to let it, I could let it run amok. Just go full Letterman.
Maybe
just go. Completely ZZ Top it, and then put rubber bands in it like Captain Lou Albano. Just go, and people go, what the hell happened to Noonan? He lost his mind.
Maybe I like order, and your face before is very orderly.
Very orderly.
Easy to wrap my
lines.
Head around.
Yeah, this is different.
You've got a multi-tonal beard.
Right.
Right? Because some of it's closer
to... The mustache
to...
and the soul patch are dark.
Mm-hmm.
The chin is white. The sides are a mismatch, hodgepodge of color.
See, and when I try, and I mean try, to grow facial
like
hair...
Like you sit like this and go... And yeah. Hoping to like push out the hairs with your testosterone.
There's a lot of squeezing involved. And from right at my chin line below, it's basically black hair. And then above that, it's patches of dark and blonde, right? Because I'm blonde.
Yeah.
Very strange. So it just looks, I looks like a neck beard, even though technically I have hair elsewhere on my face. The other thing is I am very blonde. And
yeah, it's
all
too,
of
you're
this,
fair, very fair.
Right. All this facial hair grows in very dark. So it doesn't, nothing about my face makes sense when I try to grow facial hair.
I don't know. Like I said, it's one of those things. Now, the kids at school have reacted differently to it.
Oh, how's that?
What'd you do to your face? And then one kid who I had him last year in second grade, so I saw him today. And the kid cracks me up. He's a lunatic character, this kid. And he goes, are you growing facial hair? I said, why, yes, I am.
Very astute.
Yes, I am. And they said, are you Santa Claus? And I went, yes, I am.
Is that what you're doing?
I don't think that's what I'm doing.
You don't really look like Santa Claus.
I don't look like Santa Claus at all.
Nearly as much as you used to.
No, I don't look like Santa at all. Santa with a dark flat top and, you know, a multicolored beard. And a bad attitude.
I remember in second grade when I got glasses for the first time, and you walked into the class, and kids literally would point and laugh at you. Like,
yes.
It was the most outrageously funny thing they'd ever seen. But not even because they're trying to be mean.
Kids still do that. Today, I was sitting at a table doing a reading. I do, you know, guided reading groups.
You're doing table read? Were you auditioning
table read
for a kid's movie?
I was auditioning some second graders to see if I wanted them in my class. Because if not, sorry, no callback. I only keep the best second graders in my class.
Wow.
Bigly, always the best, top notch. I surround myself with the best second graders. We drain the swamp of all the stupid kids. We keep only the best. Only the best.
That's impressive.
Thank you. But I took my glasses off, and I was rubbing my eyes, and I put my glasses down on the table. And one of the girls went, you look weird without your glasses. I said, all right, let me put them back on so you can concentrate on reading. It's like, they don't care. They just whatever pops up. Kids are still asking me why I dressed as a clown on Halloween. Still, it's the end of November. Remember on Halloween you dressed as a clown? Uh-huh. Why? Why did you dress like a clown? Because it was Halloween. Yeah, but why'd you dress like a clown? I don't know. Because it was my costume. Relax. It's almost Christmas.
Are they afraid of clowns?
They couldn't believe that I was in costume. Couldn't believe it. Even though I think I would say a conservative guess, 95% of the staff was in costume. It wasn't like I was the only one.
Right.
It wasn't like everybody else was in tweed jackets teaching very professorial. It wasn't like the paper chase in elementary school. Suddenly it was, and I just wandered in, hey, everybody, I'm a clown. Now, and then I pulled out a seltzer bottle and squirted everyone. I had peanut brittle with the snakes coming out. Jerks.
Do you have teachers at this school that dress up for all the holidays? Like, do you have that Thanksgiving teacher that's the pilgrim?
No, we don't. We have, well, every Thursday is a kindergarten color day. So you have to wear a different color to help the kindergarten kids.
What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow's gray.
Gray.
Yeah, very
to
blah.
Represents like...
Well, it's National Manatee Month, I was told. So maybe in praise of the manatees.
It's National Manatee Month.
You learn a lot of things on this podcast and broadcast. Yes, the November is National Manatee Month.
How does one dedicate one entire month to a manatee?
The gentle sea cow needs at least a month. Just to fit. First of all, they're large.
Explain to me, step by step, the procedures that take place over this 31-day period.
Well, I don't live in Florida, so I don't follow National Manatee Month that much.
It's Christmas month. It's not manatee. Hanukkah?
November.
Oh, it's still November.
November,
yeah. We're recording this as of November. It's a time travel podcast miracle.
Well, when is it going to come out?
November is...
December 2nd. Yeah, it'll be December. Out. Yeah, all right.
Oh, happy birthday, my dad.
Was your dad's birthday December 2nd?
December 2nd, yeah.
Oh, happy birthday, Mr. Goff. How are you? You can't answer me?
I'm not telling him to listen to this.
Why?
Because because he's got to be, he's still recovering from celebrating National Manatee Month.
Oh, I thought he was still recovering from your wedding. Manatee Awareness Month, Defenders of the Wildlife, National Manatee Month. That's right. Let's see.
I swam with
November
manatee.
2018 is Manatee Awareness Month.
November, wow.
November, we're in it. Well, we'll be done with it. By the time you hear this, November will be over. National Manatee Month is over. However, as we're recording this, tomorrow will be gray day at school. So I will wear gray. I was looking quickly in the closet tonight to decide what I will wear to school tomorrow that is gray. Besides my old underpants.
Is that all you're going to wear?
Boy, I think the kids are talking about the clown costume. they'll be in therapy when they're 40. This guy on Halloween, he dressed as a clown. And then on a random Thursday, he just wore gray underpants. What else? Nothing. Just gray underpants. It was very hard to focus, especially when he was sitting cross-legged on the floor during the morning meeting.
Okay, good morning. Man, there's some theater of the mind going on today.
Listen, why not paint a picture?
Well, now are you?
Because you know what, I'm still smarting from the comments the other day on the text line.
You're still upset about the text line. No. Am I going to have to ban you from the text line again?
Of course, that's probably the best thing. No, so gray is tomorrow.
Do you get fun colors in December? Or
no,
are you
I don't.
Not
it's every week. Every week is a different color, and I don't know offhand what the schedule is.
Is one of them mauve?
Mauve is not, because that would be very hard. I missed Pink Day because either I didn't know it was Pink Day or something happened that I didn't have Pink Day. I try to play along. I try to be a team player. So, when the kids, when they're doing this and they say, do it for the kids. Let's see if we can get everybody in there to wear the same kind of, the right colors.
Including the students.
Well, they tell the students, but see, they've kind of fallen off on that. They used to make an announcement on the day before. Hey, don't forget, tomorrow is Pink Day for the kindergarten kids. So let's try everybody to wear that color. And some kids do, some kids don't. The kindergarten teachers all do, and the kindergarten kids do. And then you get, a few teachers who will play along if they remember, and they'll wear it, or if they have something that color, Last year I was in first grade for most of the year, or the first half of the year, so I was doing it then.
They should make it mandatory, and then if a kid forgets, they have that color paintball gun.
Wow.
Huh?
Mm.
Huh?
I like it.
That'll show them to forget.
It will. I've had to resort to a lot of things already. I've only finished 3 days in this long-term assignment. I've had to resort. I brought back my mystery student bribery box.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, it's because I didn't realize the teacher who The teacher I'm doing this 4 weeks for, I did the first 8 weeks of her maternity leave in the spring. And so I brought this in last year. I don't know if you remember me telling you, because I was trying to figure out a way to get
this.
The kids to behave.
This is from last season?
This is last spring, yeah.
Wow.
So last spring I did Mystery Student, where I bought this cheap box of stuff from Oriental Trading Company, and I would tell the kids, it's a mystery, and I made a list. There's actually a list, so I'm not lying to them. And I say every day, if I'm watching the Mystery Student, and if they have a good day, at the end of the day, I will announce them, people will clap for them, and you get to pick a prize from the box. I said, if you don't have a good day, I'm not going to tell everybody that you didn't have a good day. I'll just talk to you by yourself, you know, at a different time, and you'll go back on the list and get a second chance. So I didn't realize that the second grade teacher, the real teacher, thought this was a great idea, because before she left, she was like, oh, are you going to do that Mystery Student thing again? Because I still have some of the prizes. The box is destroyed, but I still have some of the prizes over here. And I was like, oh, yeah? She goes, I thought that was a great idea. You came in, you came up with an idea. It was different and unique, and the kids enjoyed it, and you implemented it, and it was terrific. I said, oh, well, then I'll definitely do it again. So I, Monday, said, you know, the kids all knew I was coming in to take over the class, and I sat down with them for our morning meeting, and I explained the whole thing.
You have a morning meeting?
Of course we have a morning meeting, Cody. How are you going to start the day without a morning meeting?
Are you preparing them for the business world?
Well, we come in, we have breakfast. So this is my day in second grade. So 10 to 8, I have a meeting with the rest of the second grade team, except on Tuesdays when we have a full staff meeting. Then 8:25, I go pick up the kids. Last couple days it's been so cold, they're in the gym.
This is while I'm waking up.
Yeah. By then, I've already been up since 5:30. I have to start getting up at 4:30 and going back to the gym early, because I'm realizing I can't do it when I get home. I'm just like, I'm beat, and everybody's at the gym at that time.
Yeah.
I don't need it. My gym is already like working out at Alcatraz. I don't need to wait and go the rest of the day. But anyway, so 8:25, I pick the kids up. Now, before I pick them up, I have already laid out the breakfast in the room. I have put the lunch choices on the board. I have put all their lunch cards out so they can sort them. They come in, they get their coats off, store their stuff. They walk in, they make their lunch choice, and they start having breakfast. Then I take the breakfast count, I take the lunch count, I take attendance, send that all down to the office. The announcements come on. We do the pledge every morning. When was the last time you did the Pledge of Allegiance?
Well, when's the last time I did it with or without Under God?
Wow.
Yeah. It's been that long. I've never done it without Under God.
We still do it with Under God.
You do?
Yeah.
I thought they got banned or something.
We love Jesus in our school.
Really?
Not enough where I can have Christmas decorations
in the
room.
You can have Christmas decorations, right,
right.
But you can say One Nation Under God.
Today at the dollar store, I bought a snowman head. I thought that's the most non-denominational holiday decoration I can find. So I bought one snowman to hang in the room.
Did it work?
Well, we'll find out tomorrow when I hang it up. We'll find out tomorrow. But we'll go back to the holiday thing in a second. So then we get to the morning meeting. So I tell them, all right, you got 2 minutes, finish your breakfast, come to the carpet. So there's big carpet in the front of the room. It's all flexible seating, too, which is a nightmare. Some kids have the balls that they bounce on. Some kids sit on the floor. Some kids sit in a regular chair. Some kids sit on these, like, you know, the little game, video game rocker kind of chairs? That would just sit on the floor. They almost look like half an egg.
Oh, yeah.
There's some of those in the room. So they sit wherever they want, which drives me bat monkey nuts.
How high?
We're vaping.
This is high yeah, are they vaping in there?
No, we're all vaping. It's an opium den.
Okay.
I teach 90-year-old Asian men. That's why I had to grow the beard. I have to grow the long, really skinny, stereotypical opium den beard.
Sure.
So we come to the morning meeting, and I greet them. And I always like, good morning, second grade. Good morning, Mr. Noonan. It's very nice. Then we go over our schedule for the day, which is basically the same every day. All right, we're going to have, after our morning meeting, we're going to do reading. Then we're going to do math. Then it'll be lunch and recess. Then we'll come back, and we'll do writing. And then then it changes a little in the afternoon. Sometimes it's gym. Sometimes it's science. Sometimes it's music. Sometimes it's tier time, where they just get some extra work. Kids, if we need, if some kids need extra stuff, or if I didn't get to one of the reading groups, or they go on their one of the learning apps.
You make them cry? Tear time?
No, T-I-E-R. Tear, like tears.
Oh, so they're
not
figuring
tears,
out
tears, like weeping tears.
Right, they're figuring out which is the top-tiered character.
Top tiers. Yeah,
in,
who's going to be the best?
Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Right, exactly. That's what most of the time, that's a discussion. I close the door so the other teachers can't hear me, and then we do that. Or I have a fight club.
Yeah.
And then that it's either words their way, which is spelling, or social studies, and then we go home. So that's our day. And that's we discuss that morning meeting. Then we have a discussion question. Today's discussion question was, what was your favorite food? So they think about it, then they tell their people around them, then they share. We share as a group. And then we watch a little movement video, a Go Noodle. You might want to look those up, Go Noodle or Cuckoo-Roo.
Is that like the Italian version of VeggieTales?
No.
Food VeggieTales?
These are just bizarre things. If you go to YouTube and Google Go Noodle.
You can't Google on YouTube, silly.
Or you go to YouTube and search Go
Except
Noodle.
Except that Google owns YouTube, maybe they can.
Well, you search YouTube for Go Noodle. And then so that's our morning meeting. Then we get started. But back to the holiday thing.
It's not a video. It's you can just watch videos of it. Go Noodle is when you jump around.
Yeah, it's movement videos. And so you do, you know, all the kids stand up and they get their yayas out at 8:50. Then it's time to get to work. And then Mr. Noonan drives them like a rented mule for the for the rest of the day.
So what was your favorite food?
I didn't answer today. I don't get involved in the discussions. I probably should, but I did not.
Did you think about it?
Yeah, sure. No, I didn't. I was thinking about the next step. I was praying that my computer would work with the smart board and everything would show up.
Did it?
Yeah, it did today.
Huzzah!
Yesterday we had trouble, but today everything worked. So the kids were very excited. I said, "Oh, it's an adventure every time we go to the smart board." And so the holidays. So in social studies today, the last couple days and the rest of this week, we're talking about all the winter holidays. But because a lot of kids weren't there Monday and we didn't have social studies, we kind of glossed over Christmas. So Christmas gets the short shrift because the thinking is all the kids know about Christmas. So yesterday was a big Hanukkah lesson, which is fine. You know, we watched a video about all the winter holidays. So there was a little blurb on Christmas, a little blurb on Hanukkah, then a blurb on Kwanzaa. And then we watched, because one of the second grade teachers is Jewish, so she had brought in dreidels and had a story, you know, a story, a kid, kid-friendly Hanukkah origin story. So we watched this video on Hanukkah, and then I read this story, and then we played dreidel for a couple minutes. We watched a how to play dreidel little YouTube thing. And then today was Kwanzaa, so we watched a couple short videos on Kwanzaa. And what's tomorrow? I think tomorrow we're just going to do all kinds of readings on all the different winter holidays.
You keep saying all. There are three.
Ramadan is also in there.
When is Ramadan?
Sometime in the winter. And there's another one, I think. There's like six or seven that I had never heard of. There's six or seven total. Some of them I had never heard of. Obviously, I've heard of Ramadan, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and Christmas. But there were, look them up because...
No, Ramadan is May 5th to June 4th.
All right, there's something else that comes up because there's the teacher next door has this long poster on her door that has all of the holidays. And she said, now I have all of them represented so I can put up some Christmas stuff if I want.
So I'm looking on the internet.
Yes.
There is Boxing Day.
That doesn't count.
Which I had thought about. Why not?
Because it's Canadian and it's not religious.
Kwanzaa's not religious, is it?
Kind of.
It's not religious.
Well, it's cultural, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
So is Boxing.
Listen, I don't want to get, I don't want to get, you know.
All right, then there's Omisoka, the second most important day in Japanese tradition.
Omisoka, won't you take me by the hand? Isn't that a Steely Dan song?
No, that's Bodhisattva. You didn't think I was going to know that.
I did not think you were going to know that.
You are shocked.
I am very shocked. Christmas, Kwanzaa, New Year's Day, Three Kings Day,
Chinese
New Year.
December 4th is Jay-Z's birthday.
That's actually on there.
Yeah.
We're
December 11th is International Mountain Day. Let's see. Oh, December 13th, U.S. National Guard birthday. Shout out to our troops. December 18th is Arabic Language Day. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, there's Maulid el-Nabi. That's an Islamic holiday that honors the birth of the Prophet Muhammad. That's November 20th to 21st. Hanukkah, the Feast of...
There's Festivus.
Posadas Navidades. There's Solstice. I think that might be on the thing. That's Wicca and pagans.
Wicca?
Pagans
Wicca?
And Wiccas.
Wicca?
Wicca. I'm looking up here.
You're
it says December 21st.
You're saying one nation under God, and you have to recognize Wicca.
Bodhi Day is a Buddhist.
I dated a Wiccan in college, so yeah. I'm allowed to talk trash about it. And I'm pretty sure my brother is at least one weird perversion of Wiccan.
Yeah.
Not Zach. He's the good one. Hogmanay is on the 31st.
Mm.
December 30th is National Bacon Day.
No, that's not on our... That's not
right,
on
right. Well, let me look up Hogmanay. Hogmanay.
I don't know. But anyway.
First caller to call in and... Oh, it's Scott's. Scott's word for the last day of the year.
Diwali is one of them. That's one of the ones on the list. It's the festival of lights celebrated by Hindu Sikhs and Jains. I don't know if that is...
Yeah, and Diwali is November 7th.
Right.
Not
okay. Well,
December.
It's on the big poster. So
I believe
we're
you.
Listen, every... I'm all about inclusion. And I did say today to the kids, does anybody in here celebrate Kwanzaa? And two of the kids said yes. I was like, oh, very cool. I said, so was the video right? Was that, do you guys have the big party and do you do the thing? They were like, oh, yeah. I said, and I forgot the name. They're the Kwanzaa version of a menorah. I forget what it's called, but I asked, the second graders didn't remember either. But so we have two kids who celebrate Kwanzaa. I don't think in our class we have anybody who celebrates Hanukkah, and everybody else celebrates Christmas. So, and it's good to have inclusion and good to tell the kids about all of it. I'm a little sad that we can't put up a few more things in the room. I'm a little sad that even in second grade, you know, these kids are still seven, that we can't do like Elf on the Shelf. Because they still are at that age where they believe in Santa, as they should, because Santa's real. If you're listening to this podcast with your mom and dad, don't let them lie to you. Santa is real. So they, you know, but I'm panicked. And one of the other teachers who used to be in second grade and now is in first grade and who was a big help to me last year, I was talking to her about stuff. She goes, just do it anyway. It's your classroom. I was like, no. I said, I'm not upsetting the rest of the second grade team. She's like, well, just talk to the principal. He won't care. I was like, yeah, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. I don't think I'm going to, you know, I don't need to be making enemies. You know, if I was a full-time, you know, teacher and that was my school, then I'd say, I wouldn't say, but I'd have some of everything, you know. I'd have a Christmas tree and a menorah in there and the Kwanzaa. I would have representations of everything, which I think is fine. But I don't think all should be torn asunder in the mindset of inclusion. We've now gone to total exclusion. So instead of having representations of everybody, we have representations of nobody.
Yeah.
And so now it's winter break. And now it's, you know, we can have a couple winter decorations, but we can't really do too much, you know, Christmas stuff, even though the majority of the kids celebrate Christmas. And I think, you know, if you have a representation of everybody, then I don't see what the problem with that is. You know, if you're going to do a display, like a city, if a city's going to do a display, have your Christmas tree and your manger and stuff, then have your menorah and something else that represents Hanukkah, and have your representation for Kwanzaa, your harvest basket and your candle thing, and, you know, then everybody's getting a piece of the pie, you know? But we don't want to offend anybody, because then somebody said, well, you missed out on this holiday, or you missed out on this, you know? So at some point, you got to stop with the big ones. And you go, well, that's enough. But there's always going to be somebody.
There is always going to be somebody, and you, yeah, you can't.
And I'm getting tired of the somebody ruling everything.
Well,
that's not to say, and again, I don't, because if somebody's listening, and if you're Jewish or you celebrate something, well, why should it only be Christmas? That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying it shouldn't only be Christmas. I'm saying, but just because people don't celebrate Christmas doesn't mean we should try to wipe it off the map. We should include everybody. So there should be a representation of everybody. But I don't have the kind of money to go buy all this, 87 different kind of holiday decorations. So they get one snowman head from the dollar store. That's it.
I mean, in a smaller
happy holidays
community like a school or a classroom, it should be pretty feasible to ask each student or each student's family, what do you celebrate?
Right.
And then you'll know what to do. Like, maybe you don't need to buy Diwali decorations because maybe it's not relevant to anyone in that particular classroom.
Right.
So you do a poll. All right, you two celebrate Kwanzaa, a couple of you celebrate Hanukkah, a bunch of, a couple of you, let's say, even celebrate Christmas. All right, cool. There we're good. All right, two of you celebrate Boxing Day. All right, got that.
Two of you are Satanists. Too bad. Get out.
Yeah,
we don't care.
But then I don't know. Right. There's a sense of community that comes with sharing things together.
Yes.
And if no one is able to share anything together, that it takes away from that a little bit. Like when you say happy holidays, I signed an email earlier for work that was have a great December. It's that's so generic. Yeah. It's so generic.
I saw I can't believe I'm going to quote something I said on Facebook or saw on Facebook. I think most of us have said this in our regular lives. It just crystallized it again in my head that if I say Merry Christmas to you and you don't celebrate Christmas, I don't mean it as an insult or that I am my beliefs are superior to yours. I'm passing on the good feelings of the season that I feel to you. And if you were to me to say Happy Hanukkah or Happy Kwanzaa, I would take it as you're passing on celebratory season's greetings to me.
It's good vibes.
It's good vibes,
well,
man.
Well wishes.
Right. But happy holidays, yes, it does encompass everything. It doesn't roll off my tongue. Unfortunately, it's gotten easier to roll off my tongue than it used to because, God forbid you offend somebody. Offending somebody most times is not, whatever. But if you offend somebody at work, even if it's completely unintentional, things are going to get bad fast. Did you hear what he said to me? Yeah, I think he said Merry Christmas. That son of a... Oh, my God. He might as well have just grabbed my bottom. What? How does that equate at all? Because he violated me in my ear hole. Really?
Are we getting on the war on Christmas thing?
No. I don't think there's a war on Christmas. I don't. I'm not buying into that. I think it's an oversimplification or an oversensitivity to making everybody feel good. When again, passing on any sort of season's greetings during the holidays should make people feel good. Except the people at Starbucks because they ruin Christmas by only having red on their cups. Obviously.
Oh, did they do that again?
I don't know. But isn't it time for that? Hasn't that started? Didn't that start 3 weeks ago? The controversy of Starbucks cups and how they are, tearing apart the moral fiber of this country during the holiday season. It's not the cups that's doing it. It's people paying $8 for a cup of coffee. That's what's tearing apart the moral fiber of this country.
Here's my thing about Christmas.
Uh-oh.
Guess what? Everyone in America gets to do on Christmas.
Win. Because we've been winning. Is that what you're saying?
Close.
Oh.
One of two things. Get a day off.
Right on.
Or get an overtime or extra pay.
Correct.
Because it's a national holiday.
Woo!
And it doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus or you believe in Santa or you give gifts or you're Christian or Jewish or Muslim. It is a federal holiday that you don't have to work or you're entitled extra pay.
Unless you work at a Chinese restaurant and then you are really working hard.
Oh, yeah. You're working hard. Do you have to get extra pay if it's a federal holiday?
No.
Is that really not?
No, that's not a thing.
Right, well, a lot of companies have a policy.
Hold on.
That it's
I've worked Christmas Day before here.
You don't get time and a half here?
Are you on? You're on crack.
I am relatively sure I got paid time and a half by working on Christmas Day here.
I have never gotten any overtime or bonus here.
I'm pretty sure I've gotten time and a half.
And I've worked every holiday.
I know I've gotten time
I've
and a
half. I've worked Thanksgiving.
I got time and a half at WFMT.
Well, that's public radio. It's communism. Of course, they gave you more money. Because it's the man spreading the wealth.
I definitely got time and a half there. There are a lot of companies I've worked for.
Because the 1% doesn't own that company.
I know I get paid more at Starbucks when I worked on Thanksgiving Day.
Really?
Yeah, 2007. I worked at Starbucks on Thanksgiving Day, and I got time and a half.
Not here, buddy.
All right. Well, here's the... All right, whatever. If I say Merry Christmas...
I'm not working Christmas.
There is a good chance that if you live in America, you either get the day off or you're getting extra pay.
Right.
There's a good chance.
That's why Christmas is so huge in the UK, because they have very few federal holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So they... I mean, October, all the Christmas stuff was out. They were gearing up for Christmas in early October. And then, you know, I've seen pictures now in the before... Well, they don't have Thanksgiving... So before our Thanksgiving, so mid-November, forget it. The entire city of London, all of England, is decorated and ready for Christmas because that's their day off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm all for it. I we'll see. I'm gonna give the kids gifts as I did last year. I'm gonna make a little bag, but I have to make sure that there's nothing. You know, I have to make sure everything in it is non-denominational winter fun. You know. Not that I was going to give, like, prayer cards or nativity scenes, but I don't even know now if Santa is, you know, if Santa's okay or not. Does everything have to be snowmen and pumpkins, you know, or winter garland? I don't know.
I mean, Santa was, heavily influenced by Coca-Cola Corporation.
St. Nicholas, though, that's what I was told.
Yo, you can't have St. Nicholas,
extrapolated everything, that was my... When I was in a quandary over Elf on a Shelf. What do you mean Elf on a Shelf is religious based? Well, he reports to Santa Claus. Yes, who is a, you know, real symbol of consumerism.
Yeah.
Santa, not really religious, but St. Nicholas. I'm like, come on.
So is
now
Elf,
we're stretching.
Is Elf with Will Ferrell too religious?
Well, Santa's there and they're celebrating Christmas.
That is so dumb.
If they were celebrating Xmas,
isn't it a celebration of diversity when you learn about other cultures and recognize them?
Well, sure. That's why I showed the videos. So the kids have been they've been educated. We're diverse as hell.
But like,
we are diverse.
If you got kids in your class who are like Satanists or something, and they don't want to have anything to do with Christmas,
some kids in my class who act like they are Satanists.
Sure,
but
sure.
I don't know if they're Satanists.
Isn't it still diversity? Isn't it teaching them how other people live by just being like, oh, here's what Christmas is. Other people celebrate this. Isn't that interesting?
You would think so, especially since again. I think 100% of my kids celebrate Christmas.
Am I coming off as like really right wing or like?
This sounds like a right wing conversation, but I'm not, and you're not,
it isn't.
It's not about exclusion. It's about let's all be included. And this is why you know things get dicey with these because everybody's so entrenched on their side. So we're having this discussion and. People on the right are like, yeah, finally they've come to their senses. And people on the left are like, these two idiots, I knew they were Trumpers. Like, wait a minute, huh?
Like, whatever happened to common sense and thinking for yourself? What you and I are doing is talking about, like, having a rational discussion.
Right.
How can you rationalize this? And I just think logically it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
And if that happens to fall on the side of the right, well, then I guess I sound like I'm from the right. But sometimes I wonder, like, how am I coming off when I just think it's just kind of common sense, some of this stuff?
Well, and a lot of it should be common sense. And unfortunately, even common sense has been politicized. And so now... You know, now I'm a guy who can't buy a Santa head for his classroom on Christmas. You know, this is what it's come to.
I've been thinking about this recently.
Uh-oh.
the whole the way the politics are thought of in
the politics of dancing.
The politics of dancing.
Of who? Feeling good. You know that song?
Things.
You don't know that song?
No, tell me that.
The politics
song.
Of dancing.
Sing the whole one.
I just remember the verse. The politics of dancing. The politics of, ooh, feeling good. It's from the 80s.
Mm. all I was going to say is what I've kind of observed, like taking a step back and kind of looking at opinions from the left and the right, I think a lot of what people are doing and reacting to on the internet is like thinking about one immediate step in a process and they're not thinking about what happens next and what happens after that as like a consequence. Hmm. So like it might feel really good right? If you're on one side and let's say you're like, well, yeah, we shouldn't talk about Christmas because like that'll make other people feel left out. Okay, fine. But then you don't think about the second step, which is like, then that actually makes us less diverse.
Right.
Because everyone's just saying happy holidays. And it makes those people feel excluded, kind of, because you're kind of like imposing speech or whatever on them. So like there's all these things that like then contradict that same side's what they're trying to accomplish. Like it actually, it's like one step forward, two steps back almost.
Yeah.
And then it bothers everybody. This issue, I don't know if it's 100% in that camp, but I think that it happens with other things, which I think is like kind of interesting.
All right, there's a little politics of dancing for you.
It's good. I'm done.
I know we can't. No, I wasn't cutting you off. I waited till you finished.
Oh, yeah.
I waited till you were, I didn't want to interrupt a thought process that you had. No, I don't know. I'm with you. This is, it's all muddled. Everything's muddled. I don't like it. I don't like that I have to worry about it. You know what else I don't like? I had, today, started out, I can't think, the only way this morning could have been worse is if I hadn't been wearing my shoes. Because I was getting ready for work, getting ready for school, and I'm leaving right on, about right on time. So the last thing I do every morning after I get dressed and feed the dogs, and I get up, I feed the dogs, I do all that, then I'm showered, I'm dressed, I'm ready. Before I leave the house, I go and I open the blinds in the living room because one of the dogs likes, there's a love seat in front of the picture window, and he likes to lay on the love seat with his head up on the back of it and look out. So I open the blinds, and then on a small window, I pull him halfway up, so he's just looking out the window. Well, it's still dark in the living room. So I'm walking over to the window, and thankfully I had my shoes on. And as I step on the area rug to reach over to the blind, my heel kind of sinks.
Oh, gross.
Uh-huh. And I'm like, no.
What's your dog doing?
Pooping in the house is what he's doing.
That's no good.
So I was wearing these boots, actually. So like hiking boots. The complete bottom, all the way in the treads, everything. Completely full of dog. Yeah. And so now I'm like, oh. So I'm hopping on one foot out of the living room into the kitchen so I can take the boot off. And I, of course, I'm swearing at the dog. He doesn't know. I'm like, screaming. So now I'm in one shoe. I've got my other shoe on the back porch. And I'm going to try to clean this up. Well, guess what? There wasn't much left on the rug because it was all in the tread of my boot. Yeah. There's some on the floor, from where I had taken the second step after I went, I wonder what, oh, no.
Oh, because you couldn't smell it.
Yeah, I couldn't smell it. Mm. And in the dark, it's just lurking.
Yeah.
Dun-it, dun-it. Like if Jaws was a pile of dog poop. Nan-it, nan-it. Is she moving?
No, I didn't know she closed her blinds. We've got some neighbors that are just really fun to
yeah. see. As the engineers call her, Brittany. but anyway, so then I would clean up in the living room. And now I'm like, I got to get to school. But I got to wear these boots because it's icy. So I've got an old rag from the back porch, and I soak that, and I'm trying to wash off the bottom of the shoe, and I've got paper towel, and I'm like getting into the grit. And then I take a bamboo skewer that I use if I'm making shish kebabs kind of thing, and I take one of those, and I'm scraping into the...
Was there snow outside?
No, this is all... I'm doing this all in the house.
But there's snow outside.
There was so much in there.
How big are your boots? Well, your boots are huge because your feet are huge. I don't need to see them. Oh, God. Yeah, no, they're big.
And imagine all, and these, this is deep. This isn't the foot, by the way. This is the clean foot.
I was going to say,
this is the other foot. But look how deep the tread is on these.
They're
boots.
Deep treads.
They're like snow tire boots. And imagine that all filled, caked, and more with, So
I'd rather not, but
I know.
Now
well,
I've got the
I know.
Visual.
Well, I'm trying to be. So that's how the day starts. I come home from school. I go down in the basement. Double dose. Both ends. Or both one and two. I lost my mind. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Every once in a while, they like, I don't know. They're not spending as much time outside in the morning before I go to school because it's freezing. So they go out, and 10 minutes later, they're ready to come in. And I don't watch them, and I don't know which one it is. I know the basement one. I know which one it was. But the upstairs one, I don't know. Because the one has been on steroids for a couple weeks. So I don't know if that's messing her up. But the other one, I know it's just because he's a jerk. So that was my day. My day bookended. My school day bookended by dog poop.
Today.
All in one day. Yeah, this was within, well, I stepped in it at 7:20. I discovered the other one at 3:45. So less than 12 hours. Yep, that's my day. That's the life that I live.
This is one of the reasons I don't own animals.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons that these will be the last animals I own.
Now, of course, every time I say that, somebody says, oh, well, if you have kids, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
I've had a kid for 22 years. She never took a dump on the rug.
Yeah, funny how that works.
You know, I had to change her diapers and stuff, but I never stepped in it.
Right, for 2 years.
I never came home and, you know, it never stained my carpet.
Yeah, two years you're out.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, you might have to clean up some vomit down the road.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But, you know, they're pretty much housebroken. Once you housebreak a kid, they stay housebroken. Dogs, they revert. You know, you'll think everything is golden for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden you come home, it's like, oh, man, I was tired of waiting for you. I'm sick of this. You can't treat me like this. Then they just, you know, out it comes.
On the topic of animals.
Yes, please.
Am I obligated to buy a cat for my wife this Christmas?
Good Lord, no. Why?
Because she brings it up daily.
That she wants a cat?
Yeah, almost daily.
Does she really, really want a cat?
Well, she...
A cat's not something you can buy for someone else. A cat is... A pet is something you have to see.
Sure. What I mean is...
Give her a gift certificate for a cat?
No, I mean, should I, for Christmas, you know, give her, like, a certificate or whatever that's, like...
Or give her all the, like, the basket. Do cats sleep in baskets?
No, I don't
Scratching
know.
Scratching pole,
no,
litter box?
We would pick it up together, but, it, you know, am
do
I...
You, do you want a cat?
I don't...
Be honest. We know your wife and your mother-in-law listen to this.
I don't know if she still listens to this, actually. But
I
don't know if I want the responsibility or the... Yeah, I don't know.
Cats are much less responsibility than dogs.
Right.
I know that.
Right. I mean, I don't
like cats.
We've got a great spot for a litter box. Like, a great spot. We've got a really long hallway when you walk in, and it's next to the bathroom. We've got a furnace room. And boom, just crack the door open, which we usually crack it open anyway. Pop it in there, boom. It's like not in our way. Because for the longest time, as an apartment liver,
right,
there were literally no places to put it. You're not going to put it in the kitchen. My living room, there wouldn't be a spot, or I don't want to smell
my
poop.
My buddy has his in a closet.
I guess you could do closets, but I've lived in places that don't really even have an extra closet.
Yeah.
So, like, logistically, I couldn't even do it in the past, so it's never really been that. But now we're in a spot where it makes sense. But, yeah, I guess the two things are I don't want hair on everything all the time, and I don't want to have to clean up poop occasionally, which I can get over that part. At least it's poop inside.
Right.
What I don't understand,
big poop in clumps.
What I don't understand is, like, dog owners in the city limits.
Oh.
That, yeah, I've got to wake up at 5 in the morning, walk out in the freezing cold weather, watch them take a... Go to
a
the
steamer.
Bathroom. Yeah, go to the bathroom, pick it up with my bare hands, and then go throw it away somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not my idea of a fun time.
We lived for a year when we moved to California. A year. Yeah, a little less than a year in an apartment. And that was my life every morning. Get up, first thing you got to do before, you know, you're lucky if you can get to the bathroom. So you go, and then before a cup of coffee, before anything, you got to take the dogs out. And you got to stand there in the rain, in the snow, in whatever. Come on, go. Come on, go. Come on, go.
I dated one girl with a dog in the city.
Yeah.
Never again.
No.
Well, I mean, I'm married now, so.
Right. That'd make it hard.
Make it tough.
Yeah.
She might notice that I'm gone a lot.
Well, yeah, especially when you come home with dog fur all over you.
And
dog
poop.
Hair. What
and
are you doing?
Smell
and
poop. Like dog
smell
poop.
Like dog poo.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. And then there's the declawing thing. Ray, like, I'm afraid of getting scratched. I don't like that. But I don't really feel comfortable declawing. Because I feel like that's a bit much.
Right.
Like, is a scratch going to hurt?
Well, then you
got to
get a scratching post.
Right, then you get a scratching post. Or
I got scratched by my buddy's cat once and bitten by it.
Yeah.
Didn't like it. Nah.
I'd survive, but then you run the risk of like, oh,
depends
well,
how big a cat you get.
Also,
if you get a formidable sized cat, you might not survive.
Well, and also, will I come home and my couch is in shreds? You know, that's not fun. Right. Nobody likes that.
Right. And cats, like a dog, the dog's very happy when I can, one of them. The other one's so lazy, he doesn't care. He like, honestly, he moves his head a fraction of an inch when we come in. He just looks up.
Is this old one?
No, he's only a couple years old, but he's part hound dog. So he's on his own schedule. He's like Flash from the Beverly Hillbillies. He just, he'll move when he wants to move. He'll eat what he wants to eat. And that's it. And he'll poop whenever and wherever he wants. So, yeah, that's him.
All right. So just because she's been bringing it up a lot doesn't mean I have to.
No, not have to. I think you have to have the conversation. I think now is the time. She's dropped enough hints where you have to sit down, because a pet is a lifestyle change. No matter what, you know, you can go away for a day and not worry about a cat because they won't eat all the food at once and they have those bowls that'll only dispense a little bit and whatever. And cats don't care if you're there or not.
Yeah.
But, you know, any pet is a lifestyle change and it's a responsibility. Do you have any plants that you haven't killed?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then you're one step there. You've kept something alive other than yourself, so that's good.
I had to work out that negative in my head. Plants I haven't killed. Yeah, we've got a lot of plants. A couple have died, but...
What's the thinning of the herd?
There was a plant that Casey got me when we first started dating. I've had it 4 years now.
There you go.
Pretty much.
So, yeah, you can keep things alive. That's good. You're a responsible guy.
Keep things alive.
You know, you can... Yeah, I don't want anything that, well, I was going to say I don't want anything that poops in my house, and yet I have two that obviously, you know, when the mood hits, they don't care. Yeah, I don't know. I think, like I said, you need to have the conversation now. I don't think you need to get her a cat right now. Unless, you know, you could have the conversation in the next week. Go, man, you've been talking about getting a cat all the time. Are you serious? Do you really want a cat?
She really wants a cat.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know what kind? Not a hairless.
Well, when I proposed to her last October, she said that she thought I was taking her to get a cat.
Oh, wow.
Or last February, I guess.
Okay.
Was that this year? When did we get married?
You got married a year ago, October. You've been married a little over a year.
That was a long time ago I proposed to her.
That was a long time ago.
I remember that.
What'd you get married?
It's the last time I did an air shift on WGN Radio.
Really? Oh, yeah, that day. That's right.
The night I got engaged.
Well.
In one shift with Craig Collins.
Yeah, who's now a big shot.
Rest in peace,
oh my
Peoria.
Goodness.
Rest
that
in
guy,
Peoria.
He is rocking it in Peoria. The guy's
Peoria.
A media mogul.
Seriously,
we ought to. Thank goodness we're on his good side. He might be running the entire world soon.
Probably.
And thankfully, he likes us. that might be. Finally, it's going to be. You know, by the time I'm 90, there's going to be somebody in power who goes, I've always liked that guy. It's about time to give him his break. And literally, it won't be by an air shift. It'll be my hip. So that's what's coming up next on for us. But yeah, have the conversation. If you're down with it and you think you could do it, it'd be a nice gift. You know, they always warn around the holidays that pets, animals are not good gifts because people think they want one or they don't. And that's mostly when you're giving it to a kid. Like at Easter, they say don't give rabbits or chicks. St. Patrick's Day, they say don't give leprechauns. You know, all the things they don't want kids to get tired of.
Whoa, whoa.
If you don't think your wife is going to get tired of a cat, then go ahead.
When I was 8, I got a leprechaun for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, where is it? Dead?
Still my friend.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're a different kind of guy.
Well, he came with a pot of gold.
Oh, sure he did. Oh, did, oh, did, da, da. And he was drunk. Drunk as drunk can be, I tell you. Remember that day? Oh, it was a wonderful day.
He vomited all the colors of the rainbow.
That leprechaun, and he never pooped in me house. Me dog crapped all over me house. Me leprechaun never did. He had the decency to go outside. Stood right on the porch. Big loaf. Horrifying. Like soda bread, only stinkier. There we go with that. Get a cat. That'll be exciting.
Indeed.
It's a cat.
Well, to be continued, that conversation.
Yeah. Real quick,
we're going to record a second one.
This one is time sensitive because this happened today.
Oh.
What's the most you've ever spent on a concert ticket?
Guns N' Roses. Was I, well, do you want to count the whole trip to Seattle?
Wow. Well, we could, but what was the ticket?
The ticket was either $250 or $300 each.
Wow. Okay.
But it was in the pit.
Yeah, you were right down front.
I mean, I was 50 feet from Axl Rose.
See, that's pretty cool.
That was way worth it. I would have paid probably $5.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I've always been of the mindset, and I may have even said it on the air, that I can't see spending that kind of money on a concert. My wife bought Eagles tickets last year, and I don't know what she spent, but I know she spent, she didn't quite spend quite that much. Maybe $250 a ticket, which to me is outrageous.
I mean, it depends. You know, are the Eagles on tour and have been on tour for 20 years and will be on tour for 20 years? That kind of thing?
No, they hadn't been on tour in a long time. I don't know if they were going again. This was a special thing. And, you know, one of the big founding member had died, and this was kind of, his son was coming out in his place and stuff. And it was, so I think it might have been the last one. And she paid that. But then when we went and saw Elton John, we sat way up in the sky, you know, 300 level, and it was like 50 some bucks. And I was like, oh, I'd see just about a, you know, that's a reasonable price in my estimation. So Rolling Stone tickets went on sale today, pre-sale.
That's right.
For the June 21st show at Soldier Field. I've never seen the Stones, and it's one of those concerts that one of those bands that I always wanted to see, but I never did. And I'm to the point now, in my age, and in, you know, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards and Charlie Watts and Ron Wood's age, that who knows how long any of us are going to be around anymore. And I had watched this documentary on Showtime about the Stones putting on a show in Cuba. And I was like, man, I really do like the Rolling Stones. And so they announced that they were going to put these tickets on sale. And I was like, oh. And I signed up for the newsletter, the Rolling Stone newsletter, so I could get the code for the advanced ticket sales, which was today, because Friday, the 30th, is when they go on sale to the public. So I said to Debbie, I'd like to go. I said, but I don't want to spend a lot of money. And she was like, all right, well, I don't know. I don't really like the Stones, but you can go. And I'm like, well, I'm not going by myself. Oh, well, we'll get two tickets, blah, 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 blah. I said, okay. So she was going to be in charge of getting the tickets because at school, I can't be on the phone trying to get tickets at 10 in the morning. I'm in math at that point. So I said to her this morning before we both went to work, I said, all right, we looked at a seating chart. I said, I don't mind sitting up in the 300s because at this point I was like, I'm not going to be up front. I'm not going to spend that kind of money. If I'm in the building, that'll be cool. I can say I saw them and hear the music and it'll be great. So we looked at the seating chart. I said, all right, 100 level, not going to happen. I'm not going to stand in the general admission in the back of Soldier Field. I said, 200 is going to be really expensive. I don't really want to sit way up in the 400 level at Soldier Field. That's where they go almost straight up the stairs and stuff. I said, so 300 level from like here back. So like most of the horseshoe. So you're kind of in front of the stage and then all the way around. I said, so see if you can get some tickets that way. At about 11:30, I sent her a text. I said, did you get the tickets? She was like, I'm still trying. I was like, oh man. Then she texted back, $394. I was like, for one? I said, where? She was like, yeah, section H, so main floor, $394 each. And I said, no. She said, yeah, I let those go. I said, okay. So later in the day, I texted her, hey, did you hear anything? And I didn't hear back from her. And I was like, ah, she didn't get any. That's all right. You know, we tried, no big deal. Well, she got two tickets. In the 300 level, and they were $190.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why I'm glad she was doing it, because if I was ordering, I wouldn't have gotten them. I wouldn't have paid it. I know if down the road, because that show sold out immediately, so much so that they quickly added a second show, which I'm sure they were planning anyway, but so the first show's on Friday, the next show's on Tuesday. So the Friday show sold out right away. And I was like, oh, man. And it's one of those where I want to see them, but now I'm like, maybe I could sell those two tickets as we get closer for a little more money, because they're aisle seats, good angle to the stage, so not all the way at the other end of Soldier Field. It's like the stage comes out and we're just up off the, you know, angled in. So you'll see the screens, you'll see, because there's a big thing that Mick walks out on. So you'd see all that. But I'm like, oh, this is not what I anticipated. It's not the outlay that I was looking for. You know, I said to her, I was like, oh, no, really? I said, thank, because 3 hours she was on the phone. I don't know what she was doing at work. She said she closed her office door. She put up a thing that said she was in a meeting. And then she just tried to get Rolling Stones tickets.
Nice.
So, but you know what? She works like 18 positions at this firm, and she busts her hump. So, you know, taking a couple hours to get Stones tickets, whatever. But I was like, oh, I was hoping to get, I was hoping for like Elton John prices. I looked then after, because when I got home from school, I looked, even the 400 level seats on Ticketmaster, not secondary market, were $140 for the 400 level at Soldier Field. That's you're pretty much touching the space station up there.
That's ridiculous.
Yep. And it sold out.
No, that's there's a sweet spot, and I pay $300 for pit tickets.
Yeah.
Right? That's why I said I'd pay $500. There's definitely a point, and this has stopped me from going to certain WWE events,
mm-hmm.
because even in the first front of the balcony or whatever, or some of the like back floor seats now it's like $130, $140. And it used to be way cheaper before they introduced the WWE Network, and now their live events are way more expensive.
It's nuts.
So, yeah, you just got to find that sweet spot. But for this show, it sounds like there's no sweet spot.
There's no sweet spot. Even though the worst seats are still exorbitant and more than I wanted to pay. So now it's going to be, by June, well, the money was spent 7 months before the show. So the money's gone. Do I go and enjoy myself and forget what we paid for them because it's long paid off? Or do I gauge the demand of two sold-out shows for the Rolling Stones, never go see them, and maybe make a little money? Because, you know, if you don't sell them for what you want, you just go to the concert. You know?
For me,
yes.
I could probably count on one hand the number of concerts or shows I went to in my 20s.
Right.
Maybe two hands. So to me, once it started to get to my 30s and my wife wanted to go to shows and I got more interested in more acts.
And you had some money to spend?
Yeah, and there's that. But the thing was, I looked back and I'm like, you know, over the last 10 years, I haven't really spent any money on tickets.
Right.
I spent like a few $100. So on average, I'm still way ahead.
Well, yeah, and I'm at my advanced age, if you look at it, you know. But see, when I was going to concerts at first, it was $12, $14, you know, $25. It wasn't the thought of at that point when I was, I think the first time I paid $50 for a concert, I was like, oh my God, this is insane. And then I remember buying Springsteen tickets. Maybe it was for a Dodger Stadium or another show, and they were at 100. And I thought, this is it. $100 for a concert. You know, that's like going to a Broadway show.
Yeah.
And that's why you don't go to too many of those.
I haven't paid more than $100 for any concert ticket besides GNR.
Yeah. Well, the Eagles were the only one where Debbie actually made that executive decision and dropped some coin. Because I think even when we went and saw James Taylor and Jackson Brown at Wrigley, I think those were maybe around 100. Those they gave me for Christmas. So yeah. I don't know. But yeah, it's, I'm torn because I'm not, I mean, I don't have that kind of money to throw around. But then if I were throwing it around every week, that's throwing it around. If once a year you spend it, so I'm still trying to justify it. I'm trying to make sense of it because it's very fresh.
Here's what you do. You wait a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
See if Pritzker announces that marijuana will be legal in Illinois by June.
Right on.
If it is, get lit up and go.
Get lit?
Get lit up.
All right.
Getting lit means you get drunk if you get lit up.
I thought that was crunk.
There's also crunk.
I would rather get crunk.
There's also turnt.
Oh, I'm always turnt.
Do you want to get turnt, crunk, or lit?
Just lit. Can I do all of them? Can I get a little of each?
It'd be like the turducken of
partying.
Being drunk.
That's right.
Turducken of partying.
Bringing it all back. The content turducken and the party turducken. We jam it all in.
Boom.
Bah-ha-ha.
Jam it in hard. I'm just saying, man, look, all those Stones fans back in the day, you know some of them were token.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't mean like, you know, your token minority or something in a TV show.
No.
I mean, like you're toking.
Wow, you are really going back for the terminology. They were with the Mary Jane. They were hitting up the hemp, man. They were on their wacky tobacco. They were suffering from reefer madness.
I always just think token from South Park.
Token. So we'll see. I'll, as it gets closer, we'll update. What am I going to do? Am I going to go see the Stones? Or am I going to... If I thought I could... If I could double my money, I'd just buy a DVD. No. And have a Stone show in my basement.
No, you can't do that.
Why?
Because...
Is that illegal?
It's just not the same.
No, it's not the same. Because I watched a wonderful concert film, like I said, on Showtime. It made me want to see him in person, even though I'll be up in the sky and they'll be down there.
Yeah, I know. You'll regret it. I mean, I never saw Linkin Park and then the lead singer, you know.
I never saw Don Rickles, and I regret it to this day.
Yeah. So, just do it.
I kept making excuses, or the timing was wrong, or I was in, like when I would work in Vegas, he was working, and then when I was in Vegas socializing, he was not working, so I never saw him in Vegas. Then he'd come into town, and I was like, oh, I can't go to Milwaukee to see him, or I didn't go out to Hammond to see him. And when he died, I was like, oh, man, it was a real regret.
Here's what you do. Do what my wife did. She paid some money for some yoga stuff, and then she put a sticky note on her fridge and started listing all the things she wasn't buying.
Oh.
So she'd be like, well, I didn't buy a coffee. She doesn't drink coffee. But for a relatable example.
So every day she wrote that, and it meant nothing.
Well, for a relatable example, look, if you're the type listening at home who drinks Starbucks every morning, all right, write down $2 a day. And don't do that.
$2?
Just $2
for a black coffee?
For black coffee. Oh, or, all right, if you drink a pumpkin spice latte every morning or a whatever latte, just write down $4 a day. Don't do it for 10 days. And then, boom.
It's $40.
It's 2 work weeks. You got $40. There's the next concert. That's how you do it. But only if it's something you're already going to spend your money on. You can't just be like, oh, I saw this car on eBay. I'm not going to buy it. It'll have $10,000.
Yeah, this money is spent, so, I don't know.
There's that too, but I'm saying you kind of make
it
back.
We could justify it
because you said I don't have that money to spend. Well, make the money to spend by making other decisions that give you that.
If I gave up beer, we'd double that money.
There you go, do it. Seriously, go without beer for like 3 weeks. Do a sober January.
Sober January. I could do. I'm going to do it. I think I'll do a sober January anyway.
My sister's. Doing
I did
that.
It last year. Sober
so did
January.
Hannah. I think we did too. I know Katie did.
Yeah, and it helped with the weight loss, too.
Oh, heck yeah.
So, yeah, well, that only means we're going to be a hammered December. Is that where, if we go hammered December and then sober January?
As long as
And then a middling February, going into Mardi Gras March,
mm-hmm.
and then abstinence April.
Ooh, I don't like
then,
that one.
And then, man, we're hammered May, and just a little in June, jam in July, feeling awful in August. Sucky September. And then...
October.
We go overboard in October. So now, and then we're back to January.
As long as you're hammered December, as long as the hammer isn't one that you would find in St. Nicholas's workshop.
No, it's not a toy shop hammer. It's a big hammer of Thor. It's the hammer of Odin.
Mjolnir.
Odin Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
Yes. And then it flies back at me. All right, listen, we're going to wrap this one up. And as always, we say thank you for listening and thank you for telling people about the podcast and your continued support. We will have another podcast next week. We are working on something special for right before Christmas, so hopefully that will pan out. If not, we'll have just a regular podcast, which are always special anyway. Let's be honest. By then, we'll also know, by next week, you'll know, well, a couple weeks by Christmas, we'll know about this facial hair debacle. We'll see how that shakes out. So,
more like how it shaves out.
Shaves out, it could be.
Shaves
right now,
out.
It is itching like crazy.
Is it itchy and scratchy?
Yeah, both.
Bow.
That That was nice. All right. Are you doing a pod? Do we need to plug your podcast?
Like,
is that
subscribe,
there?
Share. Look, I've recorded an episode of Game Life Balance US. It's on my YouTube channel, but it's
not. You
have
a YouTube channel, though?
Well, Game Life Balance US has a YouTube channel.
Is that right?
Yeah, you can watch us do the recording. Only here's the thing.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yes.
We recorded this episode, and you can see the uncut conversation on YouTube. We record over YouTube, essentially.
Okay.
Like, we go on Google, we go to our channel, and we have a video chat with each other, and that automatically saves there. So then we've got a backup in case one of our computers crashes. YouTube's got that. And we've got the uncut version on there, and people can watch us if they want to find us on YouTube.
Okay.
It's a thing because he's in Minneapolis, so we do
right.
it remotely.
Yeah, I like
it's
that.
It's just a thing. Then
it's just a thing.
Then here's some behind the scenes. Then I edit the show, put our tracks together, and then throw us up on the WGN website.
Oh.
So if you wait until it's on WGNradio.com, you'll get a highly polished product with an intro and all this.
You guys have an intro for yours?
A little intro. It's like a Creative Commons dubstep intro.
Okay.
We can talk. But I've got this little intro that I've been using forever, and it's kind of cut a little differently. We took a three to four month hiatus, because John had a baby.
Okay.
And when I asked him about this on the podcast, I'm not sure why he felt the need to do this. But the child arrived 6 weeks early.
Just the other day?
Yeah. And his wife got a C-section.
Oh.
Which, yeah, whatever. People do that. She
sure.
did, I think she did it for the last
Debbie
pregnancy.
Had one.
Yeah. So it's a thing that people do. And anyway, he goes into like excruciating graphic detail about how this happens and how she's getting sick during it, and then
during the C-section,
and how all these things are happening. And I'm like he goes from like zero to like CSI or NCIS in like three seconds, and I'm just kind of sitting there with my jaw open. That will be edited out of the WGN radio version,
okay?
Because I feel like it just kind of escalates really quickly, and I'm like, I don't need 10 minutes on, because dude. Describing a C-section.
I watched one. I know what it is.
Yeah, no, there.
It's like gutting a fish, only with a human.
Yeah, so I've never seen one, and I.
You don't need. Yeah,
but my theater of the mind was stimulated a little too much for that. So
yeah, there's anybody who's gone through one knows it.
Yeah,
the women know it. Obviously, any men who've been in the delivery room when it happens, they know it. Even though you're kind of on another side of a curtain, but not really. The babies don't know it. But the we don't need a graphic description.
Yeah.
That's why I tried to temper my description of the morning walk today.
No, yours is great.
You don't need to be graphic with something.
No, you're good at this. You've been doing this for a long time. So anyway, look out. Keep an eye out for Game
Life. I don't
know.
Now I want to go to the YouTube channel and see.
If you want to hear the graphic description, just look for Game Life Balance US on YouTube.
That's how we wrap up Manatee Awareness Month, listening to a graphic description of a C-section.
Good morning.
That'll be fun.
So that's the status of the podcast.
All right.
But polished and PG episodes will be on the WGN Radio website soon. So keep an eye out for that. But more importantly, tune into the Brian Noonan Show podcast starring Cody Goff.
There you go.
Featuring Brian Noonan.
Every Sunday we drop it, or you drop it, what, 3 o'clock?
3-ish, yeah.
Every Sunday, 3-ish. Follow us on Facebook? Facebook, yeah, man.
Facebook, MySpace.
Facebook, yeah, MySpace. I'm Tom Schrand. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Any other social media channel that we're on. So
like, comment, subscribe, share.
Yeah, all of those things.
Were recording this whole thing, right?
Oh, my gosh, yes. All right, thank you. We will talk to you again very, very soon. Goodbye.
Good evening.